Hello, friends at PBRC.
朋友们，大家好。
你好，你好。
Hello.
I want to thank Dean before I begin for translating. Thank you, Dean. Well, before we get to the reading, and we're doing a shorter reading today, Dean, I know you'll appreciate that. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I want you to raise your hand, or if you're online, raise your hand at home, if you love music. If you love music. I heard one of you singing really loud in the back just a few minutes ago. Earlier this year, I met a neighbor who doesn't like music. But everyone else I've ever met loves music. And then there's those special songs we sing together, maybe in worship. Or we sing in sad moments, like funerals. Joyful celebrations, like Christmas or Easter. Though I love baseball and I love going to Citizens Bank Park, I listen for the music, the soundtrack. And I dance in my seat. My friends say, Eric, sit down, stop singing. I say, did you hear this great song? So many people, myself included, love music. Now, let's say you are part of a small group of neighbors and friends. And you are mockingly called Christians. Things are getting a little bit hot. At times, you've had open discrimination against you for being Christian. Some that we know have been imprisoned for following Jesus. Whether at work or in the marketplace, you're called to do things that the Christian group often finds troubling. As your children grow older, they're beginning to realize that your household is different than others. And we all know people who've walked away from Jesus. Maybe they've said it's too much to follow Jesus during pandemic or plague.
Maybe they've said it's too much to follow Jesus during pandemic or plague.
When pressure comes to stop following Jesus, they give in to the pressure. And as a pastor, I'm listening for whether the people of God are still singing. That when we are pressured, we might abandon our hope and desire in Jesus and stop singing. And today, a letter arrived. We do not know the author. They did. And these first four verses of Hebrews was probably a song. The letter arrived right on time. Here in the middle of the first century. We're all living in Rome. And it's hard to follow Jesus in first century Rome. This letter to the Hebrews is just what the heavenly doctor ordered for us. As we try to follow our priest, persevere with our priest, and find our purpose in our heavenly priest. Only those who know that Son will hear the music and continue singing forever. In these five verses, God sings over His Son. Like a parent sings over their child, the Lord sings over His beloved Son and sang Him into a world of noise and shame. Let's hear that reading now. Hebrews 1, 1 through 5. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Should I continue? But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? Well, this first verse sounds to me like a prelude to the Song of the Son. The ancient pastor is doing what modern ones do. They say, "Hello, hello, I'm going to get your attention." He tells us that the talking God has spoken. He has spoken in many times and in many ways. The false idols do not talk. The God of the Hebrews talks. The entire Old Testament was given by God through the prophets. From Moses to Zechariah and Malachi. It's how our ancestors in faith the Jews, the Jews knew their story and their song. For all who confess Jesus, they find their ancestors in the story and song of Israel. And if you were made with ears, God's voice is still heard today. There is a son of this God. And that son was the last word of this God. The old revelation was in the prophets. The new revelation is in a son. The old was in many ways, many prophets. The latest and the last is in the Son. The writer, their pastor, thinks that they are living in the last days. These are only the days the prophets promised before. The days in which all the promises of God are fulfilled. To bring to life a people who were dead to rule over this God's world. To rescue a terrified people and terrified from their enemies and bring them into a place of rest. To crush the head of the serpent who is still felt today. And to reward all of God's followers. Not just with eternal life, but shared priesthood. Shared kingship. And shared delight in this God forever and ever. The Son is how God is still very God and separate from a corrupt creation. The Son means that the Son will be just like the Father in every way. Remember, you are your mother. You are your father. But now, we hold to the Son and the Father, and therefore we are parented. We are cared for and matured into God's image, the image of the Son. So, a prelude to the Song of a Son.
所以第一节就是简单介绍的是准备我们来读这首歌。
Our second section, verses 2 through 5, we learn that God's last word is a song. We will hear melodies in verses 2 through 5 that reappear throughout the book. When we were young, my parents bought a large record. It was called Hooked on Classics. Classical music from all eras. They took the melodies and linked them together. Now, no one who studies music professionally enjoys this album at all. But I learned a lot about music. And that's what verses 2 and 3 are doing. Hooked on Classics. Scholars think these verses were fragments of a song that the congregation and writer would know. Let's walk through these melodies together. The first one. This son gets everything. By inheritance. And we think this is first of the melodies. Because the writer knows that the people they're writing to are feeling pressed down by their neighbors. They have been made to feel small by the local Roman business owners, their patrons, or their neighbors' kids even. For a people tired of paying the cost of following Jesus, they need to hear right away that the Son inherits everything. And we have a share in that inheritance if we stay with the Son. We have nothing if we leave Him. Melody number two. Through the Son, the whole universe was made, heaven and earth. Melody three. The sun shines with the brightness of God. Dr. Voss put it this way. Christ is carrying the glory of God into the world. Yet never being detached from God. Four. The Son represents God exactly. If I took a die and placed it on hot metal, the shape would be reflected in the die. Five. Everything in the universe is held and given the power to grow and expand at the command of God's Son. The sun keeps everything in the universe from collapsing. Dr. Bruce reminds us of the picture of Atlas. Atlas was told that we were told that Atlas carried the world on his shoulders. Jesus upholds the world not like a dead weight. Jesus supports the world and brings it to its appointed course. Melody number six. The Son alone. Of all created reality. Could purify people from the corrosion of their sin. Here's the good news. He did it in one stroke. Now we're at melody seven. He alone of any priest ever. He sat down. Priests never sat down. He sat down because there was nothing left to do. Right next to the Father. So the power of our purification from Him continues. The priest's connection to God means that the worshiper is connected to God. Notice there are seven. The writer is saying, this Son is completely awesome. And this is just a brief scan of the work of the Son. And we can hear the melody of the Son through all. Speaking of music, the writer adds the heavenly choir in. He compares the Son to angels, and the Son is much greater than even angels. Now the people of God are supposed to believe in and even honor angels. They are spiritual beings. Who serve those who inherit eternal life. And the Son is vastly greater than the angels. But notice for proof, the writer uses God's own words. And what these words don't say is what's important. When God says, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father," God is not talking to angels. That's from Psalm 2. We also hear, "I will be his Father, he will be my Son." From the magnificent 2 Samuel chapter 7. That's where Nathan came to David. Was this spoken to angels? Yes or no? No. The Son is much greater than the angels because the Son is God. Notice the writer says name, but they don't use a common name. The name is the title, the relational title of Son. You will not hear the name Jesus until chapter 2. This title Son is first given by the Father to the Son at the Jordan River. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, we hear, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." In case you wondered, that's three Old Testament references in one saying by the Father at the river. The Father is publicly committing to this man. The Father is publicly committing to this Son of Mary. The Father is committing to this Son's mission. His mission to love and secure a people to himself forever. Remaking the entire universe in his image. And his way to do so is by embracing the suffering of this life and the cross. Until he returns for judgment. God's last word to us is a psalm. A song of his Son that will never end. Let's put this to work, and then we will be done. Today, do you hear the song of God's Son?
Do you hear the song of God's Son?
Is your heart at all stirred by the prelude or by the song itself? Professors at Wheaton College Patrick Gray and Amy Peeler, they write this: against the view that God's voice has with time become more distant, muted and difficult to distinguish, Hebrews asserts that it has never been transmitted with more clarity than in these last days. I want you to think about and write down. How God has cheered you through this pandemic by sending specific songs. Songs of encouragement. Songs of hope. Songs of perseverance. Write these songs down and sing them. Ask yourself, what song fills my heart today? And for some, maybe you've never responded to God's song in His Son. The brilliant commentator David Da Silva reminds us that the response to this song, this message, will determine one's destiny. Now some communal applications. Remember that the writer is speaking to people they know. And the writer thinks these people are in danger of falling away. Finishing the race poorly. Not finishing at all. Or even becoming persecutors of other believers. Again, Dr. Da Silva. We must be very intentional about establishing and preserving Christian community if we are to fulfill our calling to discipleship. No matter if you are younger or older, The famous sociologist. Dr. Peter Berger.
Peter Berger
reminds us that community just means holding a set of beliefs and having a body of others who share those beliefs. It is essential to maintain that community, especially during pandemic. I'm sure you have found following Jesus, even in a community, difficult this pandemic. I call you to lean in every single week, even every day if you can, to the people of God in your faith community. Now I want to talk to parents especially. Parents, and I am one. Parents, our work is not to provide stuff. Parenting is about learning to love the little ones God sends you with the love of Jesus. The research keeps showing the same thing, generation to generation. And it's this. Parents are the greatest influencer in their children's walk with Jesus for their whole life. If you refuse to sing of God's love in Jesus, your children will refuse as well. Where you attempt to sing of His love, even if poorly, even if inconsistently, you can be confident that you're giving them the best shot to follow Jesus. Author A.D. Thomason. He put it this way. I've realized my parents' generation and most generations confuse provision as parenting.
Uh,
What good is life if you don't know how to navigate it? What good is clothing and shelter if you walk around spiritually and emotionally naked? My friend and professor Anthony Bradley, he writes, "I've never had a student in my office crying because their father didn't work enough hours, or have an amazing career, or buy a big house." They're not crying saying, "Dad didn't bring us enough elaborate vacations." They cry about the same thing every time. Dad was emotionally and physically distant. And in the worst cases, abused and neglected their own children. Ask yourself, how am I following Jesus and His song today with my little ones? And if I find this very difficult, how am I asking for help from others? God sings of His Son. Way at the end of the book of Hebrews, the writer calls us again to look to the Son, saying, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." Jesus helps us follow Him despite the frowns of this world. Even though our neighbors frown, even though family and friends frown, We are convinced Jesus is greatest of all and worthy of praise. And it is Jesus who forms us individually and communally. As we parent each other with song through life's long years until He returns in person, Amen.
So,